Hi, I'm David Spinks. I'm the founder of Feast and CMX Summit, and this is a social media clarity podcast.
If you work with social media and you want to play and see what can you do this beyond what you can get as a package tool, Scala should be your choice. I would advocate that over Ruby or Python because Scala gives you access at scale. Whatever you can try in small scale, it's very easy to do at big scale. And it's as easy as those other languages.
Welcome to the Social Media Clarity Podcast. 15 minutes of concentrated analysis and advice about social media in platform and product design.
Welcome to episode 18 of the Social Media Clarity Podcast. I'm Scott Moore.
And I'm Mark Smith.
And I'm Alexey Krobrov.
For this episode's news, we have two items for you. First, Facebook responds to organic reach claims. A mere two episodes ago, in episode 16, we discussed concerns online marketers were voicing over changes in Facebook's organic reach. Well, Facebook has just responded to those concerns in a post by Brian Bolin, who leads the ads product marketing team at Facebook. He states that organic reach is declining because more content is being created every day, but that there is a practical limit to what can be shown to a Facebook user through their newsfeed. It's a simple equation. The newsfeed can only present so many items to a user during their session on Facebook, and how much is presented is pretty much fixed. Facebook claims it's about 300 items. The more content being produced by friends, family, coworkers, groups, and pages simply means more content that won't make it into that top 300. According to Facebook, pages that publish great content, something that adds value to people's lives, or as Justin Esif says, makes them more awesome, can still make it into that top 300. And of course, the lead of ad products is going to recommend backing that great content with smart use of ads. And that makes sense if you're trying to reach an audience. Increasingly, expect platforms to tax your access to audience, while at the same time they make it easier for their native relationship-based communities to thrive. Which leads us back to the points regarding engagement and impact we made in episode 16. A like is not a relationship. A share is not a relationship. Consumption is not conversation. And value people and relationships over content and sales. Also recently in the news is that Huffington Post has completely switched its U.S. site to the Facebook commenting plugin. Back in September of 2013, Huffington Post announced they would no longer allow anonymous accounts and a form of identity verification would be required. This became the topic of episodes 2 and 3 of this very broadcast, where Randy, Bryce, and Mark laid out the reasons why anonymity and pseudo-anonymity could both be preserved and maintain quality contributions to a community. Now, as of June 2, 2014, Huffington Post has abandoned their in-house commenting and identity system and have switched their U.S. site completely over to the Facebook Comments plugin. Otto Toth, CTO of the Huffington Post, couches this move as moving the conversation to where the community is already having it. Toth did not explore the decision behind the change any further in his post. Amanda Schumacher, head of communications for Huffington Post, did follow up with the Nieman Journalism Lab at Harvard, saying, quote, "Initial Facebook commenting tests across a selection of our verticals did not show a significant impact to the amount or quality of comments," unquote. This change is currently only for the U.S. site, though Huffington Post Canada and Huffington Post UK may likewise switch in the near term, according to Schumacher. Clearly, Huffington Post is happy with their business decision, though in the landscape of online news and journal sites, there is no clear consensus, with sites switching to Facebook comments, switching away from Facebook comments, or abandoning comments altogether.
With us today is Alexey Krobrov. Alexey is a startup founder of By the Bay, an organization devoted to training software developers with the latest development technologies for big data analysis. He's a big fan of Scala, the programming language, and he seeks to work on engineering problems that actually address some of the hard problems of humanity. Of course, his technology of choice is scalable functional programming and state-of-the-art computer science. He focuses on big data Scala systems, which include Hadoop, Spark, and Kafka-based flows, where Scala is already either inside, as in Spark, or added, as in DSL, such as in Scooby or Scalding. He basically builds large-scale map-reduced systems using big data tools built out of Scala. We're going to ask him today about his latest work in the By the Bay organization, creating learning opportunities for people seeking to develop skills in big data analysis.
Alexei, tell us about Scala.
Scala is a programming language, and it can be thought as a successor of Java. So it's a very powerful language on the one hand. It runs on the Java platform. Anywhere you can run Java, you can run Scala. And Java underpins most of the big data companies. It's LinkedIn, it's Twitter, it's any large bank most likely runs on Java. Scala comes in and it looks more like Ruby or Python. It's much more appealing. It's much more concise. So folks who cannot tolerate verbosity of Java or its clunkiness can actually enjoy Scala much better. And it's also interactive. So there is a prompt, such as in Python or Ruby, and you can experiment and you can play with your dates and you can do essentially anything you can do in dynamic languages such as Python or Ruby. But you have access now to the power of the Java platform, and you also can very easily work with big data. So if your data set is stored on a cluster of hundreds of computers, you can actually have tools in Scala to work with this. So it's a language of choice for a lot of companies which process social media data. Twitter is almost entirely written in Scala now. So that's the thing that speaks to the power of Scala. And Scala is one of the reasons Twitter is so successful.
So Twitter is completely programmed in Scala?
The back end of it is programmed in Scala. Twitter started as the Ruby on Rails implementation. And very quickly it led to Twitter hitting the limits of scalability. So there was so-called fail whale. The whale carried by a lot of birds, which was showing when Twitter experienced periods of overloading, when everybody would check their tweets after lunch in the early days. And once it was fully re-engineered using Scala, the fail whale disappeared. So Scala was one of the languages they adopted early, and a lot of systems in Twitter are written in Scala. So the backend, the data mining tools which find, for instance, recommendations of people you should follow, all of these tools are written in Scala.
So Scala is more than just a scaled data delivery. There's analytics to it also.
So Scala is a general purpose programming language. You can write anything, but because it was adopted by big data engineers and data scientists, they wrote a bunch of things such as a highly scalable API. Can we now do data mining and find what are the common words people are using? So all these things are written as libraries in Scala. There are systems you can take from open source and you can use them to analyze text, to do the APIs, and do a lot of services which are needed by data mining companies.
What would you say people who are interested in social media or in helping others getting together online, What's the key takeaway about Scala that we should know?
So Scala, in the next few years, no matter which tool you use as a social media manager, if you touch a bunch of tools, it's very likely that underneath they talk to a system written in Scala or the tool itself is written in Scala. And ultimately, if you talk to Twitter, you are interacting with a giant system written in Scala. So most of the software Twitter writes is open source. They put it quickly on GitHub and they dogfood themselves with their own open source. So if you are interested in trying various data science coding tools, you can very easily do processing of this data yourself. So if you want to experiment, if you want to interact with one of these APIs, you can easily get some templates written in Scala to work with them. You can integrate various libraries if you want to analyze text in your tweets. There is a huge collection of natural language processing libraries written in Java and Scala. They're interoperable. And so it's very easy, for instance, to try to detect sentiment, to look for specific words, collocations, see what are the typical words person X is using versus person Y. And it's surprisingly easy to experiment with this using interactive prompts. So I would suggest that if you work with social media, which is a stream of text and images, and you want to play and see what can you do this beyond what you can get as a package tool, Scala should be your choice. I would advocate that over Ruby or Python because Scala gives you access at scale. Whatever you can try in small scale, it's very easy to do at big scale. And it's as easy as those other languages.
Perfect. Because that was going to be my question about Python. But so
How would somebody get started with Scala?
So Scala has many levels, and the core of it is as easy as Python or Ruby, so there are very basic things.
Mm-hmm.
So there are multiple tutorials online. One of the things we're doing, we run second Bay Area Scala conference in August called Scala by the Bay, which is preceded by three-day training, foundations of Scala. So any person who wants to use big data, small data, who wants to do computational linguistics or APIs can benefit by taking the basics of Scala courses we're going to run for 3 days in August. And that will be repeated throughout the year. So I would suggest also going to meetups. So I'm also founder and organizer of SF Scala, which regularly meets in the city. We meet once a month or more, and we often feature talks about foundation of Scala, various tools, various libraries. So I would highly recommend going to SF Scala meetup, joining, seeing what the events are.
So tell us about the conference.
So Scala by the Bay is the second Bay Area Scala conference. Last year, it started. It was called FunConf, or Silicon Valley Scala Symposium. We renamed it Scala by the Bay to showcase our beautiful surroundings. It will be hosted at Fort Mason, the historic location with the view of the Golden Gate Bridge, and will feature the Bay in all its glory. It will be about 300 developers coming from all over the world to 2 days of talks. And we'll have multiple companies using Scala featured. And one of the main companies is Twitter, the king of social media. As I was talking to Scott before, most of Twitter is written in Scala, certainly all the data processing part. So it's kind of touching all the pieces of data you see on your Twitter. It's originated and was touched by some Scala system somewhere. And the logic of Scala and its libraries and its use cases actually connects to this area. For instance, Twitter writes all its recommender systems, recommending whom to follow in Scala. It processes large amounts of tweets which need to be searched and indexed in Scala. And all of this information is stored on clusters of computers. So basically, all of these billions of tweets are scattered across hundreds and thousands of nodes. And if you look for a specific keyword or hashtag, they have to quickly be found. And a lot of systems answer these questions, you know, how to count very quickly, who has more mentions of one word versus the other. You need to use specific mathematics systems to actually be able to answer this at scale of billions of tweets. And we'll have talks from LinkedIn, another company using Scala heavily. Foursquare is written entirely in Scala. So a lot of very interesting companies in social media space are using Scala. We'll have talks for the beginners. We'll have talks about APIs, which, for instance, let you learn how to easily write your own API or call an existing API using Scala clients. And we'll have training preceding the conference, training folks in Foundation of Scala, and we'll have some training after the conference using the Play framework, how to write web applications using Scala and call APIs using Scala. And we'll have Big Data Scala Track using Spark. It's an advanced system out of Berkeley, which now takes the big data world by storm. And in a few years, basically, Spark will be the big data. It will be Hadoop, but I think it will be mostly Spark inside. So basically, a lot of topics, I think, of interest to folks who look at social media data on the internet.
If we want to follow you on the web, where do we find you on Twitter? And where would I find good resources to learn more about Scala?
So my Twitter handle is my last name, Krabrov, K-H-R-A-B-R-O-V. And the company organizing the conference is called By the Bay LLC. So if you go to bythebay.io, you will find various links. For instance, bythebay.training provides some fundamental training in Scala and Spark. And you will see links to the conference itself, which is scalabythebay.org. There is a SF Scala meetup. If you just look for SF Scala on Google, you'll find it. It's meetup.com/SF-Scala. And meetup gathers regularly, so it's a very good idea to join the meetup and find out firsthand what Scala is all about, what the community is all about, and follow Scala events.
Thanks so much for joining us, Alexei.
And thanks for having me.
For links, transcripts, and more episodes, go to socialmediaclarity.net. Thanks for listening.